Colorado Sun reporting this morning that as robberies have dropped, fights between roommates spiked. How quarantine affected crime in Colorado. Statistics and anecdotal evidence suggest that targets shifted with the closures, which in some areas may have veiled an anticipated rise in domestic violence. No one knew how the coronavirus, with its historic stay-at-home order from the governor, would influence and inspire crime across Colorado. No previous period, no critical incident offered much in the way of clues of how law-breaking would evolve, how conditions would reshape the ways people interacted in close quarters, how violence might erupt under stress and economic anxiety, how the cloistering of citizens in their homes would create vacuums of illicit opportunity elsewhere. But as municipal and county law enforcement statistics from the first phase of Colorado's response to the pandemic emerge, a few trends have begun to take shape. According to numbers reported by a sampling of jurisdictions, crimes against society, offenses like drugs, gambling, and prostitution dropped in several areas, and traffic crashes dipped too. In general, crimes against people were down during stay-at-home period unless those people lived in the same home. In other words, there were fewer robberies, but law enforcement noted more assaults among roommates. Another trend, while overall burglaries remained relatively flat, the targets shifted from homes to closed-down businesses. Which brings me to my next guest. I have Brett Schroetlin on the line. He's Grand County Sheriff. Good morning, Brett. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Really appreciate you taking the time to come on and speak with KFFR and our listeners. What's new?
You know, we're definitely full swing into summer here in Grand County. You know, everybody's been kind of tied up at home for the last couple months here, and the weather's nice, and people are trying to interpret these state orders and actually kind of stretching their wings a little bit, and been on about the last week or so. It's been a lot busier than we've saw the last couple months.
I want to ask you about that, Brett, but in the meantime, do you have any response to that article I was just sharing from the Colorado Sun where crime has kind of shifted into the home as and then into closed businesses as opposed to burglaries and homes? Do you have any data about that happening in Grand County?
I don't have any specific data with me now, but I think it's very true. I think it's you know, we've responded to more disturbances. One of the local police departments responded to an issue with a couple roommates here within the last week. We've had a little bit of an uptick in domestic violence calls. People have been spending more time in the home with each other, which is, I think, driven those stats in the direction that they're going. But you're right, the traffic stats and the society type calls are definitely way down.
I can definitely say that there's a few people's roommates I couldn't live with.
Oh, absolutely. People do pretty good when they come and go for work every day and, you know, kind of live their own lives. But as they're kind of isolated within that one area, it definitely kind of definitely gets everybody's tempers flared a little bit.
Let's talk about visitors now. Over the Memorial Day weekend, obviously a huge uptick here in Grand County. The roads were packed. Trailheads were cranking. In the Sky High News, you're quoted as saying that you had a increase of calls over the weekend. Can you profile some of that?
Yeah, sure can. So the last couple of months obviously have been slower for us. We've been busy doing you know, more planning and stuff like that, and then here comes Memorial Day, and Memorial Day is always busy for us. It's kind of the gateway to the summer for us up here, and the businesses love it and the community loves it and we love it. But this year was unique just because you know, there's still stuff that's open, not open, open for interpretation, but people came up here. And so some of our campgrounds weren't open yet. So people chose just to kind of camp wherever they could camp, which a lot of times resulted in people camping on private property. Just typical busy weekend for the holiday, but added a few things with all of the COVID stuff that's going on, just trying to get people to kind of follow the rules. And, you know, we received some issues on, you know, short-term rentals. We received some issues on campfires. One of the big things we have right now is the Forest Service still has a multi-state fire ban for the Forest Service. And at the local level, we do not have a fire ban because our scientific matrices don't require it. So that's been kind of a little bit of a conflicting deal for people coming up to the mountains. And so a lot of it is just that voluntary compliance and personal responsibility that we really ask people to kind of follow.
I did have a listener ask me about those short-term rentals. which are still a violation according to the Safer at Home order from the governor. We do have a variance request out there, but has yet to be granted. And she asked me that, she says that Grant County used to have an enforcement officer, Rick Liberale, for short-term rentals. Do we still have that position? And is there any enforcement going on in that regard?
So his he left the county sometime last year, and his position hasn't actually been filled. It was kind of a collateral position between my department and community development. And it worked well while he was here, but I don't have the staffing for it right now. We still do enforcement on a case-by-case basis. You know, people can reach out to the Grand County website, to the COVID-19 complaint form, and submit their complaints there. They can reach out to our dispatch center and review those complaints, or we can get those complaints there as well. And then we review those, just trying to see. A lot of times, they're not necessarily a violation of the law, and sometimes they are. And so we ask people to give us a chance to investigate them and see what the circumstances are. And then we try to make the best decision we can on a case-by-case basis of what's going on with each one of those.
Cool. And our this concerned citizen also mentioned, she's a senior citizen. She's probably in what you would call a vulnerable community. She went shopping over the weekend during senior hours, and there was a uniformed officer present to restrict shopping to seniors. Is that a plan that's going to be going forward as people return to Grant County to party and enjoy the outdoors?
You know, I'm guessing that was one of the local police departments, either Granby or Winter Park, probably. I'm not sure what their plan is moving forward. I know they've been trying to spend quite a bit of time around those, you know, city markets, Safeways and stuff, just trying to, usually when we're in the area, it just kind of reminds people to be on their best behavior. And I'm guessing that's probably what they were doing.
And all your officers are practicing the masking and washing hands and all that kind of stuff?
Yep, we you know, we're pretty used to that on a daily basis anyway, not necessarily the mask, but just the good sanitary conditions and stuff. And we've added masks into our routine as well. Some law enforcement functions just make it super hard to wear the mask, but the guys are giving it the best shot they can, especially when they're in public or in the stores or something like that. They'll definitely wear those.
Talk to Grant County Sheriff Brett Schroetland. Brett, there were two new cases reported in the last week, two new cases of COVID-19. What do you know about those? You're on the COVID-19 emergency response team. And also, what about, I want to ask you about tracing, you know, this community tracing that we're supposed to be getting involved in to be able to keep track of, you know, who was in contact with whom. Are these two new cases, are they being tracked for their contacts and those kinds of things?
They actually are. I just spoke with one of the public health officials just, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes ago this morning, and she was working through one of those cases, like just as we were speaking probably right now here.
And are people cooperating with that? I know there's only two cases. It's kind of hard to generalize, but...
You know, there was a conversation yesterday that people are hesitant to cooperate with that right now. It seems like, you know, they get some cooperation and then they don't get some cooperation, and... even though being part of the incident management team, I'm not fully part of the whole public health contract tracing just because of that medical component of things. They really restrict that down into their nurses and epidemiologists and stuff versus just giving all that information to all of us. I think it just kind of keeps the validity of those cases a little more serious than we know they're there, but then they do the work behind the scenes kind of through those medical people.
Mm-hmm. And Sheriff Brett, wondering about your relationship, the police relationship with our Latino community. I know in the Roaring Fork Valley, there's a 30-40% Latino community population. They're not all legal. Some of them might be hesitant to talk to a police officer if they see a crime, or if they may be hesitant to go seek medical help because they're not documented. What is our relationship? What is your relationship, your department's relationship with the Latino community? Are there hurdles to overcome, or are you guys all well-versed in Spanish? What's that relationship life like?
Well, I wish I would have learned Spanish. I spent several years learning Spanish back in high school, college days, and I kind of forgot it now, but sure would be nice to have that skill. But I think that it goes back to the foundation of law enforcement, is working with these communities ahead of time before we enter into issues with these different populations. And it's all about treating them with dignity and respect. And just like we would for anybody else. And I think it's that foundation that we build prior to the incident that makes us successful here in Grand County, is, you know, having those positive interactions before there has to be a disturbance or a negative interaction or something like that. And that tends to go a long way. You know, we still run into the Spanish English translation barrier, but I think that having that foundation and treating those people with dignity and respect right from the get-go, prior to anything, has been very successful for us here in Grand County. You know, we have people come and go all the time, but for the people that are here, and we try really hard to respect that and make sure that we understand, you know, their needs and still get our needs met as well at the same time. And like I said, we've been very successful.
I'm curious also, there was, I know we're a long way from Minnesota, but this African-American guy, George Floyd, was just filmed with his knee on the neck of a police officer, was filmed with his neck on this guy's, or his knee on this guy's neck, and the guy ended up dying. And you know, the Minnesota just blew up from this incident.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm wondering, do you guys have training to help you deal with minority interactions and those kinds of things? Is there extra sensitivity? And also, I'm curious, do you guys have body cameras?
We do. We have body cameras. All of our patrol staff have body cameras. And so any type of enforcement type call that they respond on, our policy is to have those cameras rolling. And those cameras are great for the community, and they're actually great for us. They really, you know, they help us see exactly what happened. And usually it's all within the compliance of the law and our policies, but it definitely helps us answer questions later on. And, you know, this case with Minnesota is just tragic. It's, you know, I've read about it quite a bit yesterday, and it's just tragic. And it goes back down to training and procedure and community interaction, all those types of things together. And, you know, fortunately, we're not a big city, and so we don't see a lot of those things that maybe you're seeing there in Minnesota, which I'm very, very fortunate of, because in those big cities, those things unfortunately happen a lot more frequently than they do here.
And Sheriff Brett, it's obvious that with the advent of cell phones and everybody having a camera on their hip, that the dynamics of law enforcement have changed from citizens being able to videotape things as well, yes?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's, you know, we've had that for a few years here, and we're used to that. And we'll be happy to take, you know, during any case, we take any citizens' videos that they have, and then any videos that we have. And a lot of time it really tells us the story about what's going on.
Absolutely. Curious also, there was just an incident I came across. I was driving the other afternoon, and I went into Hot Sulphur Springs, and there was a large amount of police on US 40. Someone said that the Come and Go had been robbed in Granby and that there was a high-speed chase. Is any of that true?
So part of that is true. There was definitely not a robbery at the Come and Go.
Okay.
There was a police pursuit that started actually more between Kremling and Parshall and headed back towards the east, and actually got stopped just outside of Hot Sulphur Springs. Yeah, it was someone had failed to stop for one of the state patrolmen and then failed to stop for one of our deputies. We were able to successfully use what we call stop sticks at the east entrance to Byers Canyon there, which is basically a tire deflation device. And then a state patrolman was able to use a pursuit intervention technique just outside of Hot Sulphur and get the vehicle stopped. And we ended up arresting two people, and one person's still in custody and the other one's been released.
Are they locals?
No, they were not. They were from the Metro Front Range area.
Anything else you've seen that's kind of unusual? Thanks for sharing that story. That's very interesting to us who are just on the streets being normal citizens. It sounds like a very exciting life you lead.
And you know, speaking of something else that we talked about just a few minutes ago was the, you know, the citizen cameras. So we actually have one of the citizens posted on one of our Facebook pages a picture. She was actually sitting in the roadblock when this pursuit went by. And so we'll actually take that camera and that video and print it off and attach it to the case. And so that's one of the issues where, you know, citizens' cameras have actually really helped us be able to put a case together. So it kind of links two topics that we're talking about.
Is there anything else you want people to understand about law enforcement right now as we go through this next phase of slowly reopening, being cautious? What else do you want people to know, Sheriff?
You know, I think it's just important that the community knows that this is unseen times. And just as the community is learning about this, law enforcement's learning about it as well. You know, these aren't things you learn in the police academy. These aren't things that you have an actual plan for. And so we're working through this pandemic just like everyone else is. And when new laws and orders come down, we review those on a case-by-case basis as well. And we're trying to interpret things the best we can because we are all part of the community and we want the best for the community. And so I think just know that for the community to know that as we're moving forward, they're moving forward and we're all figuring it out together.
And how is morale among your troops?
It's been good. It's, you know, it was definitely slow for a couple months there, like I said, and the guys got a chance to get caught up on some things. And now that summer's here, people are doing good. We're short-staffed going into the summer, which is just the norm of a mountain community. But the guys are ready to rock and roll.
Grand County Sheriff Brett Schroetland, thank you so much for spending time on KFFR this morning. Really appreciate it very much.
Thanks for always having me, Steve. Have a good day.
All right, take care. That was our Grand County Sheriff Brett Schroetland live on KFFR. Good morning. Penny Lane, there is a barber showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to know, and all the people that come and go stop and say hello. On the corner is a bank with a motor car. The little children laughing at him. Minutes before 10 o'clock by request at KFFR this morning. The Beatles with Penny Lane. Good morning. It's the KFFR Corona Cast. I'm Steve Skinner. Joining me now, Grand County County Commissioner Rich Cimino. Hi, Rich.
Good morning, Steve. How are you today?
I'm well. I know you got a meeting in 10 minutes, but I thought we could check in really quick. What's happening?
Yeah, we're waiting for our variants. Very frustrating. We submitted it 2 weeks ago. No word back. As you know, part of our variance was for restaurants, so that's kind of nice. The state is allowing restaurants, as of today, 50% capacity inside the restaurants. Outdoor dining encouraged, but I drove around Fraser and Winter Park this morning. I didn't see any restaurants operating. I know one of them is going to open Friday for breakfast and lunch. And so maybe they needed some time to get their food and staff trained up.
Who's that?
It's Wake and Bacon. Wake and Bacon will be open Friday.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you got to have bacon.
Well, yeah, you know, that might be a chance for you to get away and get yourself some bacon.
I was talking to the folks yesterday from Sharky's, and they're doing really well with the takeout, and they're going to keep going on takeout and not open yet for the general public for in-store dining.
Yeah, their real estate situation isn't the best in this new world. It's a pretty tight space. It's a wonderful space, but so small. So, yeah, so no breakfast restaurants were open that I found that I drove by, so that's where I got my breakfast this morning. To go from Sharky's.
Hey, Rich Cimino, is there any plan for us to go rogue, to go against the safer at home regulations if we don't get this variance?
I will answer your question. It's a good question. So we realize that at some point businesses will fail. We need to do everything we can to save our businesses without harming our community with the virus. So will enforcement be robust with the Grand County Sheriff's Office as well as the town police departments? What I'm getting when I talk to the police chiefs of the towns and our sheriff you just had on is if restaurants are doing spacing, if churches are doing spacing, they're taking measures to keep us safe, however might be coming up against the line or crossing the line with state law at the time, we'll probably not be enforcing really robustly. We probably will not be enforcing robustly. So does that mean going rogue? I don't think so. My personal opinion is if we don't allow businesses to try to open safely, then at some point the frustration level and the desperation level rises to where they might operate unsafely with huge crowds and no spacing. And so I guess I've answered your question is we already are a little bit, but we think it's what we have to do.
I appreciate your candor. What about for short-term rentals and things like that?
Well, again, part of helping our businesses, doing whatever we can to allow our businesses to try to survive the summer, to get some practice being safe so that we can have as robust a winter as possible. Part of that is staying under the radar. So maybe I don't know if today's listenership is very large. I'm kind of hoping, no offense, Steve, it's fairly small, but I will answer your question. And same thing there. I would say that I know that the companies that are property management companies, they have procedures in place for the units to be vacant after a guest leaves 24, 48 hours, and then the cleaning crews come in, and that's, you know, being safer, reducing the quick turnaround. They're doing special stuff with telling people to bring your own pillows. We'll wash the pillowcases and sheets, but bring your own bedspread, bring your own pillow. The actual pillow itself, you know, might have virus on it. So they're telling people, here's the county rules. In the past, if you had a loud party, you might get called. That ain't going to happen during this. You're coming, you're paying. You better be quiet. You better be extremely well-behaved during your stays right now. So I think they are operating, Steve, and statewide orders technically say they should remain shut down until June 1st. But I realize many, not all, there are still, I know some operators personally who are not renting their STRs, but I also know of some who are. So that's what's happening.
Once again, I appreciate your candor, and it's great to talk to you this morning. Rich Cimino from Grand County, County Commissioners. You know, the only reason I'm asking about this stuff is because, you know, I think that people are rushing back up here. They're enjoying it. In the Sky High News, there was reports of people not behaving themselves, starting fires in places they shouldn't, camping in places they shouldn't go, not wearing masks in local businesses. And then I read this article that came out today in the Colorado Sun that says, hospitals could be overwhelmed if older Coloradans don't reduce their social interactions by more than half. There's a new model out there that says we're going to get a really big spike in August. And so, I mean, I And then you look at the government, the national government, our leaders saying, we got to open, we got to have this giant convention or we're going to go somewhere else. And so it's definitely a divisive environment, but it's also not worth losing friends, neighbors, and loved ones, is it?
No, Steve, it's not. So this may be a balance that might be unattainable, but as for me, and I think most of the leadership of the county, we want to find the balance, because a completely safe posture means business death, and it means unemployment, and it means mental health. There's a lot of negative consequences and harm if we be absolutely safe as we can. We got to find a balance where there can be some business in a safe way. It'll be a bifurcation of society, perhaps. Immune compromised and elderly people might find that their lives stay extraordinarily disruptive and isolated for a long time because they're the ones that are most at risk of being severely impacted by the virus. And others of us who are younger and not immune compromised might be able to conduct business and get back to life and get the economy going. So it's really hard, but that's what I'm striving for, is something where businesses can survive. It'll be a rough few years. And if we've got to skirt state policies, you know, if our county had been slammed like Eagle, I think I'd feel differently. If we have an outbreak in the future, we'll make adjustments, but we've got to practice. We've got to learn what works and what doesn't even. And so we've got to get out there and try.
I guess the bottom line is that those of us that are not immunocompromised and that are going to be out in the environment really do respect other people and not just flaunt their freedoms, because that's going to be painful for people that need to stay inside and stay away. I'm calling it personal distancing, not social distancing anymore. I'm calling it physical distancing, because we do need to stay connected, and we are all connected, and we do need to get back to business, but we also have to have that level of respect for our fellow man and woman, I would say. Yeah?
I agree with you, Steve. I respect a business owner who feels that his or her environment is spread out, and maybe they do not require masks, but I'm quite upset at citizens who go into businesses like Costco who do require masks and try to flaunt it. Respect business owners, respect choice. They're trying to be safe. And if you don't want to visit their establishments because of your freedom beliefs, that's fine. You can find other stores, but don't flaunt and don't have unnecessary confrontations, is my thought.
I agree with you. Thank you so much, Rich Cimino, Grand County County Commissioner. I know you got a meeting in 2 minutes. Thanks for spending some time with us today.
Thank you, Steve. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Take care. That was Rich Cimino, Grand County County Commissioner, answering the tough questions on KFFR this morning. That's your KFFR CoronaCast. I'm Steve Skinner.